What happens when someone actually keeps their promises? In American politics, that question sounds almost quaint-like, asking what would happen if politicians told the truth or if Congress read the bills they pass. Yet Ron DeSantis built his entire political career on a radical premise: say what you mean what you say, and let the results speak for themselves. His journey from a working-class Florida neighborhood to the governor's mansion offers more than just another political success story. It reveals how conviction-driven leadership can reshape an entire state's trajectory. While millions of Americans relocated to Florida during his tenure, literally voting with their feet, the national media branded him everything from reckless to authoritarian. But numbers tell a different story. Florida didn't just survive the pandemic era, it thrived while locked-down states hemorrhaged residents and businesses. This isn't about partisan cheerleading. It's about understanding how one leader's willingness to stand alone against overwhelming pressure created a blueprint that has conservatives nationwide asking, could this work everywhere? Growing up in Dunedin, Florida, DeSantis lived an authentically middle-class life. Little league baseball, shared bedroom, minimum wage summer jobs. His father tracked Nielsen ratings. His mother worked as a nurse. When his baseball team reached the Little League World Series, it planted a seed. Impossible goals become achievable with determination. Yale brought profound culture shock. Professors blamed America for the Cold War, praised communism despite historical failures, and mocked Christianity. The campus had banned ROTC, yet these privileged students, beneficiaries of capitalism, embraced anti-American rhetoric. DeSantis funded tuition through pre-dawn trash collection, parking cars, coaching baseball, and tutoring math. He graduated magna cum laude as varsity baseball captain with $101.24 in his bank account. Harvard Law School followed. Then September 11, 2001, during his first year, fundamentally shifted his worldview toward military service. The stark contrast between his modest background and elite privilege strengthened his appreciation for traditional American values and produced someone determined to challenge the establishment. As a Navy JAG officer at Naval Station Mayport, DeSantis prosecuted court-martials involving sexual abuse, narcotics trafficking, and corruption, building a reputation for thorough preparation and unwavering commitment to justice. During this period, he met Casey Black, a television news reporter, at a Jacksonville driving range. Their shared Ohio roots and political interests sparked an immediate connection that would prove invaluable during his campaigns. Then came Iraq. DeSantis volunteered for deployment to al-Anbar province during the Anbar Awakening, serving as legal advisor embedded with special operations units after training with SEAL Team 1, navigating the precarious balance between aggressive military action and restrictive rules of engagement. The deployment revealed uncomfortable truths. Unlike World War II's total mobilization, the modern all-volunteer military meant a tiny percentage bore combat's weight, while most Americans remained untouched. More troubling, DeSantis witnessed how freedom was interpreted through religious law rather than individual rights, a stark disconnect from American liberty. This crystallized his skepticism toward Bush's vision of promoting global democracy. The founders understood that liberty requires specific conditions: separation of powers, checks and balances, federalism, protected rights. These couldn't simply be transplanted into societies lacking the cultural foundation. It shaped his entire approach to governance. Some things work because of deep foundations, not because they sound good in speeches. After active duty, DeSantis wrote Dreams from Our Founding Fathers, critiquing progressive policies. Speaking at Tea Party events connected him with grassroots activists frustrated by politicians who campaigned conservative but governed moderate. When Florida gained congressional districts in 2012, he ran despite lacking campaign experience or donor networks. With Casey's media expertise, they knocked on over 20,000 doors through Florida's brutal summer heat. Voters were shocked that a candidate personally sought their support, revealing a crucial insight. constituents resented Republicans who surrendered to the D.C. establishment after campaigning as principled conservatives. In Washington, DeSantis chose to drain the swamp rather than join it. He slept on his office couch, declined congressional pension and health care, and stopped personal stock trading to avoid conflicts of interest. Colleagues mocked these choices, but they reinforced his outsider commitment. The immigration debate exposed the divide between D.C. Republicans and voters. Beltway leadership, misreading Romney's 2012 loss, believed comprehensive immigration reform would win Hispanic votes. Reality showed Hispanic Americans prioritized education, economy, and crime. Many supported border enforcement. Corporate interests pushed expanded immigration for cheap labor, ignoring impacts on American workers' wages. DeSantis joined Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows to create the House Freedom Caucus with a revolutionary message, actually fulfill campaign promises. With 30-40 members voting as a bloc, they blocked problematic legislation and forced leadership accountability, disrupting the Beltway machine. When COVID-19 arrived, public health elites used flawed modeling to justify destructive policies. Dr. Burke's response to DeSantis's question about precedent was chilling. This is kind of like our own science experiment. He began studying research himself, discovering Donald Henderson's principles that emphasized minimizing disruption during epidemics. The expert's partisan nature became undeniable when 1,200 public health authorities who had condemned gatherings suddenly endorsed George Floyd protests while rejecting anti-lockdown protests. These weren't impartial scientists. They were political actors wearing lab coats. Florida initially followed federal guidance for 4 weeks, but DeSantis defined essential business broadly and refused to close beaches. When the predicted April hospital surge never materialized, he revoked restrictions on elective procedures. During Florida's summer COVID wave, Dr. Fauci publicly advised Florida to seriously look at shutting down. DeSantis refused mask mandates and required schools to open 5 days a week. Between April 2020 and mid-2022, Florida experienced 15.6% excess mortality, lower than New York's 20% and California's 17.7%. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity ranked Florida as the top-performing large state, while lockdown states like New Jersey, New York, and California performed worst, destroying jobs and education without saving lives. Freedom was empirically vindicated. For most of DeSantis's governorship, Disney was a model corporate partner. During the pandemic, Disney executives praised his leadership, while California's lockdowns kept Disneyland closed for over a year. Disney World reopened in July 2020, saving thousands of jobs. Then came the 2022 Parental Rights in Education Bill, dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill by media outlets, though it simply prohibited classroom instruction on sexuality and gender ideology in kindergarten through third grade. When left-wing activists launched a pressure campaign, CEO Bob Chapek called DeSantis seeking guidance. The governor's response was unequivocal. Do not get involved with this legislation. You will end up putting yourself in an untenable position. Disney ignored the warning, publicly opposing the bill and pledging to seek its repeal. DeSantis responded by dismantling Disney's special privileges through the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Within weeks, Disney's market capitalization plunged over $63 billion. More damaging was the public support collapse. Disney's net favorability rating crashed from plus 56 to plus 3, the largest decline in company history. The lesson was clear. Corporations that abandon their core mission for controversial political activism risk everything. The numbers validate the approach. Between 2020 and 2022, Florida gained $23.7 billion in adjusted gross income from migration, far ahead of Texas's $6.3 billion, while New York, California, and Illinois lost $19.5 billion, $17.8 billion, and $8.5 billion, respectively. Florida led the nation in new business formations, exceeding California by 20%, despite half its population. In education, Florida ranked third nationally in K-12 achievement and first in the Heritage Foundation's Education Freedom Report Card, spending less per pupil than traditionally advantaged states. The 2022 election confirmed this success. DeSantis won by nearly 20 points, the greatest Republican gubernatorial victory in Florida history. He captured nearly 60% of Hispanic voters, won a majority of women, and achieved the highest percentage of Black voters for any Republican gubernatorial candidate in modern Florida history. The Florida blueprint is straightforward. Lead with conviction, deliver results, reap rewards. Take strong stands despite opposition. Focus on outcomes over rhetoric. Use power to defend liberty, not expand government. In a landscape where leaders govern by polls, DeSantis proved leaders can actually lead.